Okay, welcome to class. Good to have you all here. I'm glad that some of you are, interested enough in geography to come to a class on it. First of all, we're going to have a little quiz, and you're not graded on this. I just want you to say the answer if you know what it is. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. What's the capital of France? How many continents are there in the world?
Seven.
Oh, I gave you a clue about that on here. What's the largest country in the world by area? What country in the world has the largest population?
China.
What's the name of the imaginary line on the globe where you go forward a day or back a day when you cross it?
International dateline.
What's the national language of Australia?
English.
That's probably what I would have said too. From what I could find, they have no national language, so that was sort of a trick question. Which country in South America has the longest coastline? That also would have might have been my first guess too. No, not either one of those.
Brazil.
Yeah. On which continent is Madagascar? What are the four most spoken languages in the world? Just
Mandarin's
one.
English
is another.
Spanish.
Spanish is a third. And
Russian?
No, that was a good guess. Hindi is the other one. And which continent has the highest population density?
Europe.
Asia.
Asia does. Okay, here's a riddle. A man left his house and walked a mile south. Okay, walked a mile south. He walked 1 mile east. And then he walked 1 mile north. And he got right back to his house. Now, how is that possible? He was right at the North Pole, exactly. Down and around and then back up, and because he was going straight north up toward, right at the North Pole. Okay, now I'd like to know a little bit about what kind of a class I'm speaking to as far as how much you've traveled. How many of you have visited countries outside of North America? Well, great, that's probably why you're in this class. How many of you have visited Europe? Okay, which countries? Romania,
Ukraine.
Oh,
I went to England, Scotland.
Okay, and
Greece.
Greece.
Yeah,
okay, good. Did anybody else raise their hand for Europe?
Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Italy.
Okay, great. Africa, anybody been in Africa? Which country in Africa?
Tanzania and Kenya.
Okay. What about Asia? Hong Kong, China?
Yeah, Hong Kong and China and Japan.
Okay. Did you raise your hand, Ivan? Okay. All right, great. South America? Which countries? Or country?
Colombia.
Okay.
Uruguay.
Okay.
Belize.
Okay.
Paraguay.
All right.
Chile, Argentina.
Okay. Very good. Australia? Anybody been there? Which country in Australia? So here's another question. How many of you have been in more than 5 other countries in your lifetime that you know? So some of you have, obviously. What about 10? Anybody been in more than 10 countries? 15? 20? Okay. Very good. I'm glad to see that. So in our house, we live in Washington State, about 8 hours from here, 8 and a half hours. We have a map on our wall. It's a world map, and it is covered in like a gold color. And then if you visit a country, you can like scratch that gold off, and it has underneath the gold, it has the color and a country. And so you can scratch off what countries you've been in. And I actually get sort of depressed when I look at that map because there is so much of the world that I'm never going to be able to see. I've been blessed to see a lot of the world in my life, more than some people my age have, but still, there's so much more to see. Okay. I guess the clock is behind me. So, let's have a couple of you answer. If you could visit one of the 7 continents, which one would you choose? Anybody want to share of the ones you haven't visited? Australia, Europe, okay? In addition to that, what about some places, either countries or cities or actually like landmarks? Any on your bucket list? Probably there's lots, but...
The Holy Land.
The Holy Lands?
India.
India.
The Galapagos Islands.
The Galapagos Islands.
New Zealand.
Amazon Rainforest.
Amazon Rainforest. Interestingly enough, my father-in-law and my brother-in-law are traveling there today. They're going down to do some research to hopefully write a book, so that's kind of makes me a little jealous, but it's okay. Okay, let's see. Can we rank the seven continents from largest to smallest? What's the biggest one?
Asia.
Second?
Africa.
Third?
North America.
Fourth?
Fifth?
No.
Antarctica.
Antarctica. And then?
Europe.
And then?
Australia.
Yes, very good. Okay, so the other questions I put on your paper, no obligation to answer them, just something to keep your attention as we go through this. I will cover all of those things as long as I don't run out of time. Okay, does the name Phileas Fogg ring a bell in anybody's mind? Have you ever heard of Phileas Fogg? Okay. Let's see. What can you tell me about Phileas Fogg?
Around the world in 80 days.
Okay. As far as I know, it's a fictional book, but he had this wager that he, to see if he could go around the world in 80 days. Now, that obviously is before today's modern transportation, but he managed to fulfill it. And I'm just curious, you don't have to answer this, but I'm curious what kind of an itinerary you would plan if you were going to travel the whole way around the world in 80 days, or in however many days, especially in the time, in the days when we didn't have modern transportation. Now, if you could go, and some of you have probably done a flight like this, but you can fly from Seattle or Los Angeles the whole way over here to this area in about 15 hours. That's a lot shorter than 80 days. So I just want to show you roughly the route that this man in this book took, because it's kind of interesting to me and it probably will interest you. So he started in London, which is in the British Isles right here, and he went to Egypt. And I guess from what I found, there's a rail, or you can take, there must be a tunnel or something that you can go here across Europe. He went down to Italy, somewhere in this area, and then he took a steamer across the Mediterranean Sea to Egypt, which is here. And then from Egypt, he took a steamer across the Red Sea, across the Indian Ocean, around here to... No, not around there. He went to this city right here, Mumbai, which used to be called Bombay. Then he took another steamer around to Calcutta, India, which is right here. And then he sailed to Hong Kong. Some of you have been to, so he went around down through this area, Hong Kong, and then to Japan. And then he went across the ocean to San Francisco, and then across the States to New York, I believe, and then back across the ocean again to London. So would anybody enjoy a trip like that? Probably. I think so. I'd probably be seasick most of the time because I get motion sick pretty easily, but it's just, you hear stories sometimes about people that have flown planes around the world or sailed around the world. Not a lot of us have time for that, I guess. I don't know why we don't do it. Probably because we don't think we have time. But today we're going to take a trip around the world, and it's going to be more like in a few minutes rather than 80 days. So just hang on to your hats, and I hope that you learn a bunch of new information. What comes to your mind when you think of Antarctica?
Cold.
What else? Ice. What else?
Penguins.
What else? So Antarctica. Go ahead. What?
Explorers,
right? Antarctica is the only continent that has no permanent population. The only people that are there are like researchers and tourists and people that want to see it, I guess. It's larger than both Europe and Australia, which I'm not sure if I would have known that. I probably had learned that, but it's not the smallest continent. Seals, birds, whales, some other stuff lives there, but no polar bears. And I was not prepared for that fact. I was sure that polar bears lived in Antarctica, but they live in the north, not in the south. Polar bears do. So Antarctica is not centered above the South Pole. If you look on this map of it, you can see that. The South Pole is not directly in the center of Antarctica. Two different ice shelves in the Weddell Sea, which is on this side of the continent. When you see a flat map like this of Antarctica, it gives you a very distorted picture of what the continent actually looks like. But two of the ice shelves in that sea are bigger than the British Isles. So there's lots of ice in Antarctica. And so I was curious. I wondered how much it would cost to fly to Antarctica. And by the way, there's two trivia questions on the board that have nothing to do with today's class. They're just for your interest, and make sure that I don't forget to tell you the answers before we leave. So I went on Google Flights and put in Spokane to Antarctica just to see if anything would come up. Nothing did. It didn't give me an option for a flight there. But so I was looking into it a little bit more, and you can fly there, but the flying season is pretty short. It's like December to February, I think is what. Yeah, December to February, and you have to charter a flight or whatever. 90% of the people that go there go by sea. So let me know if you go visit Antarctica. I'd love to hear how it is. I'm sure it's interesting there. Okay, so if we leave Antarctica and travel northeast across the ocean there, we're going to come to Australia, which to me is a fascinating continent. Never been there. Did anybody say they've been in Australia? Yeah, a few people raised their hand. Okay, great. What are Aborigines, or who were they? Anybody know what that word means?
Indigenous.
Yes. They were the original ones in Australia. You may have heard this joke. Are anybody from Texas here? Oh boy. I hope this doesn't offend you. I don't think it will, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So I don't know why, but people from Texas supposedly have this reputation that they exaggerate stories and make things bigger than they actually are. You can, if I'm right, yeah. So anyway, this man was visiting Australia. He was from Texas, and he was with a friend of his, and the whole time he was there, he was just saying how everything's bigger in Texas. The trees are bigger in Texas, and the animals are bigger in Texas, and the grass is, and everything's bigger in Texas. So they're driving along the one day, and a kangaroo jumped across the road in front of them, and the man from Texas was like, "Whoa, what was that?" And the guy from Australia was like, "Stupid grasshopper." Anyway, that is a joke that came to my mind when I thought about Australia. I found that about 80% of the animals that live in Australia don't live anywhere else in the world. So it has a lot of interesting animals. Does anybody know what a wombat is? Go ahead. Do you want to describe it? Have you seen one?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to like a place that had a bunch of the different animals that we don't have.
How would you describe a wombat?
Uh-huh. Hairy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. From what I found, it looks like a little bear with, instead of chunky cheeks, I guess it looks like a miniature bear, and it can be up to 3 feet long, weighs between 44 and 77 pounds. It's a marsupial. Wait, what's a marsupial? Somebody asked me if there was going to be a quiz in this class. I guess I am kind of quizzing you, but go ahead.
Doesn't it carry a big
enough? Yes. Has a pouch like a kangaroo does. Okay, some of the first people to settle Australia were convicts that were shipped there from England or from Europe. It's kind of an unfortunate way to start a country, but that's how it was for Australia. Ayers Rock is one of the prominent land features in Australia, and it's called Uluru in the native, that's what the natives call it. It is about 1,100 feet high, huge rock, and has a total perimeter of about 6 miles. It's sacred to one of the groups of Aborigine people of the area. So, have those of you that were in Australia, did you see that? The Ayers Rock. Probably everybody that visits Australia goes there. Would you like to see the 12 apostles? I found that in Australia you can go see the 12 apostles. It's 12 limestone stacks. And they're off the shore of Victoria, which I don't think this map, no, it doesn't have the states or whatever divided in Australia. It's off the coast of Australia. Unfortunately, there's only 8 of them still standing. The 4 of the apostles are no longer standing. The last one to collapse was in 2005. So if we travel north from the coast of Australia, north and west a little bit, we would go through a bunch of interesting islands, which we're not going to talk about those. But as we land on the continent of Asia, I'm not sure how to even give us a picture of how big Asia is. It's so enormous that it just almost blows your mind. Well, just the country of Russia itself is just kind of stands out as a little bit large in relation to the stuff that's around it. The highest point on Earth, which is what? Mount Everest. That's located in this area right here, Nepal, Bhutan, and that area there in the Himalayas. Who can tell me what a Sherpa is?
It's like a guide that takes people.
Okay. Right. It's a native group of people. They live in Nepal and Bhutan and China and India. So they don't all live at one place, but they're known to help white people, I guess, or foreigners climb mountains. They're very tough people, rugged people. Does anybody know who the first Sherpa was to climb Mount Everest? I mean, to get to the top of Mount Everest? There was I think he was a British man, and then a Sherpa that got to the top. Does anybody know who they were? Edmund Hillary was the British man, and his helper was named Tenzing Norgay. Now, another interesting fact about Mount Everest, I just found this, that on May 7 of this year, Kami Rita Sherpa summited Mount Everest for the 26th time and currently holds the record for the most successful climbs on that mountain. So that was an interesting fact to me. Asia has the two most heavily populated countries in the world, China and India, and the amount of people in those countries is staggering as well. China has approximately twice the population of all of Europe in one country. So that's a lot of people. Russia's land area is about twice as much as the land area of the U.S., and there is a lake in Russia that is the largest freshwater lake by volume. Does anybody know what it's called? It's right here. I don't know if you can read it on the map, but it's right here. It doesn't look like a real big lake, and it's not, I don't think it's real huge by like actual land area, but it's the biggest lake by volume. It's called Lake Baikal, or Baikal. I'm not sure which way you pronounce it. And it contains more water than all the Great Lakes put together. So those kind of statistics are hard for me to wrap my mind around. Did you know that mainland Russia is only about 55 miles from mainland America? I mean, United States, Alaska. Way up here, in the Bering Strait, this green is Alaska and this yellow is Russia. And in between those two countries, there's two islands. One of them's called, I didn't write down the names. There's two islands. One of them belongs to Alaska and one belongs to Russia. And between those two islands, there's about a 2.5 mile strip of water. And sometimes during the winter, that strip of water freezes. So technically, if you're on the one island, you could walk to the other one across the water. So you could walk from North America to Asia. And I believe some people would believe that that's one way that people got from from Asia over to North America to settle there. Okay. Does anyone recognize the name White Impulse? Anybody ever heard of that before? White Impulse. Let me tell you about White Impulse. So in Japan, there is a city called Aomori. It's not on our map, but it's in Japan, over here. Aomori. And this city gets an average of 26 feet of snow every year. So it's because something to do with how it's positioned between mountains and beside a sea. They just get snow all winter long. 26 feet of snow a year. There is an airport there, an international airport, and ever since it opened, I find this hard to believe, but this is what I found. Ever since it opened in 1965, June 1 of 1965, they never have had to cancel a flight flying from there because of snow on the runway, or even flying from there or to there. Never. And they get 26 feet of snow every winter. Okay, and so the way they do this is they have this snow removal team called White Impulse, and it's like 120 men or something, and they have 30-some vehicles, and that's just their job during the winter, is to keep the runway clear. They just have one runway, but they can clear... Yeah, on the runway, they get approximately 22 feet of snow every year, and they can clear the runway, the taxiway, and the apron in about 40 minutes. So I watched a video of it online, and it's pretty fascinating. It's just lots of machines, and they have it all coordinated so that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Even down to when they get the runway plowed off, they have to go along it and like hand shovel some of the smaller particles of stuff off so that it doesn't like suck it into the engines of the airplanes. But they all know what they're supposed to do. White Impulse. That'd be a good thing to tell your students about. They might find that interesting. Okay, does anybody know? So there's a list of seven wonders of the world. We're not going to talk about those because those are not as well known. There's also a list of new seven wonders of the world, and two of them are in Asia. Does anybody know what they are? I don't have a list in front of me of the seven things, but one of them is the Great Wall of China, which is a fantastic engineering feat that goes up and down mountains and all over the country of China. The other one is the Taj Mahal in India, which was built by a leader of some sort as like a tomb for his wife, I think, or in memory of her at least. So those are both located in Asia. As we travel west and south in Asia, there's so many places you could go here. Talk about Afghanistan, the refugees from there and all that stuff, but that's not our topic today. But as you go west and south, you get to this part of the world called the Arabian Peninsula, and there, two of the world's richest countries are located, and one of them is the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, which is a little country right here, and then the other country is Qatar. It is just a smaller country even right there. They're both right beside the Persian Gulf. How does the Arabian Peninsula connect with the Bible? Does anybody know?
Mount Sinai,
yes. The Arabian Peninsula is where the Israelites spent their time wandering in the wilderness. They went from Egypt to the Promised Land, but then they got driven into the wilderness, and they were in that area somewhere. I don't have the exact spots, but they were in the Arabian Peninsula. Okay, so as we go from the continent that we're on, south and west, maybe we could find a camel train to ride on. Has anybody ever ridden on a camel? A couple of you have, that's neat. I never have. I've been on an elephant before, a long time ago. But what comes to your mind when you think of Africa? I'm doing too much talking. You guys need to tell me what comes to your mind when you think of Africa. The Sahara Desert. Good. What else?
Hippopotamus.
Mount Kilimanjaro, good. What else? What was that? The Nile River. Denial. If you were listening to that topic this morning. Good? Yes. You might think of slavery. You might think of Cape Buffalo or safaris, like where you can see lots of interesting animals. Somebody mentioned the Nile. The Nile River is the longest river in the world, and it flows up through Egypt. There was a historian called Herodotus, and he called Egypt the gift of the Nile. Does somebody know why he called it that?
Because of the yearly flooding.
Right.
That makes it possible
yes.
to live there.
The yearly flooding, that's exactly right. The Nile overflows its banks, and that's what gives them the moisture that they need to grow stuff. Africa was known for a while as the Dark Continent, and there could be varying opinions on why, because the people that live there have dark skin. Some of them do. Not every country has dark-skinned people. But it also could be because of the spiritual stuff that was there. There's a lot of witchcraft and stuff, but that's not just in Africa. But anyway, it was known as the Dark Continent. There was a man who devoted his life to this continent, bringing light to it. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I think he does. David Livingstone, very good. In Africa, there is a place called Mosi Oatunya, and that translates to the smoke that thunders. Do you know what we call that in today's language? The smoke that thunders. That was what they called it in their native language.
Victoria Falls.
That's right. Victoria Falls has the largest sheet of falling water in the world. It's approximately 5,604 feet by 354 feet. So it's a huge sheet of falling water. If you were a big game hunter and somebody referred to the Big Five of Africa, do you know what they are talking about? Cape Buffalo. It's five animals that the big game hunters consider the five most dangerous animals to hunt. Cape Buffalo is one.
Elephant.
Elephant's another one. The African elephant.
The rhinoceros.
The lion. And the African leopard. According to statistics, the deadliest animal in all of Africa is the hippo. And four of the fastest land animals live in Africa: the cheetah, the wildebeest, the lion, and the Thompson's gazelle. Last month, in Angola, which is right here, miners discovered a big pink diamond, and it's believed to be the biggest pink diamond that's been discovered for about 300 years. Pink diamonds are one of the rarest and purest forms of natural stones. Two men in the Bible are referred to, and they were from Ethiopia. Who am I talking about? There may be more, but I was thinking of two well-known men in the Bible.
The eunuch.
The eunuch that Philip talked to. The other one is connected with Jeremiah. You may or may not remember his name.
David?
No, he may have been. I didn't look at him. I was thinking of somebody else. His name was Abedmelech. And if I remember the story right, he was the one that lifted Jeremiah out of the pit with the rope. What is the island nation off the southeast coast of Africa called? I already referred to it earlier.
Madagascar.
Madagascar. Does anybody know what the capital is? It's a really neat name. It's a pretty long one. You probably can't see it, but it's Antananarivo. It's a pretty neat capital city name. I found this fact interesting, that Africa is the second largest continent in the world, but it has the shortest coastline because its coastline is pretty smooth compared to other continents. So there's not a lot of bays and like things that jut in and out. So that was something that I would not have known. Africa is the poorest and most underdeveloped continent. Supposedly, more people in New York City have internet access than all the people in the whole continent of Africa. I don't know how they come up with statistics like that. But even if that's not as accurate as... that still gives you a picture of the kind of the way that Africa is still. It's the most underdeveloped country, and at least 50%, if not more, of Africa's population is under the age of 25. So it's a very young population. Have any of you ever read the book The Insanity of God? One person, two people. Highly recommended book. It is about a man that worked in Somalia, in Africa, where he saw lots and lots of pain and suffering. But he writes about persecuted Christians in different countries, and he goes and visits them and talks to them and tries to understand how the church can thrive when there's persecution. Anyway, I could get on a soapbox about the book, but just read it. It is tremendous, if you're ready to be changed by it. Somebody mentioned Mount Kilimanjaro. It's in Tanzania.
The orange one.
We're in the equator, practically.
Oh, still not seeing it. Where Mount Kilimanjaro is. And Mount Kilimanjaro is the highest single freestanding mountain above sea level in the world. Just stands all by itself and just a perfect cone up to the top. Not a perfect cone. But. Okay? As we leave Africa, we travel up here to the northwest point in Morocco, and we go across this little body of water. Does anybody know what it's called?
Strait
of Gibraltar. Thank you. And that puts us into the country of Spain, which is in Europe. And Europe is very diverse because it has so many countries and it's so small. It has the second largest population density of all the continents, even though it's a third of the size of Africa. It's about double Africa's population density. In Europe, there are two countries that occupy less than a square mile of land area. Does anybody know what they are? Vatican City is the smallest one. That's where the Pope lives. The other one is Monaco. Ukraine is in the news a lot these days. Can we list the countries that border Ukraine?
Romania.
Poland. Belarus,
Moldova,
Russia. There are two more. Ukraine is here. There's a bigger map of it right here. Hungary and Slovakia also border Ukraine just a little bit. If you have any Anabaptist roots, there's a good chance that your ancestors came from Europe somewhere. This is not a history lesson, but George Blaurock, Felix Mons, and Conrad Grebel lived in Europe. If you were to walk down the street in London, England, and glance up at the road, at the cars coming towards you, and look where you normally would see a driver, be like, wow, driverless cars! But actually, they just have the driver on the other side. England's not the only country that does that, but the first time you see it, it's a little startling, actually, because there's no person in the spot that there should be a person when you're looking at the oncoming car. Was that the 3-minute bell? Oh, well, I think we have till 3 o'clock. In France, it's illegal to name a pig Napoleon. I was very fascinated. If you know your history of the French and Napoleon Bonaparte, you understand a little bit about that. Iceland, which is up here, kind of by itself, is supposedly does not have any mosquitoes. So, interestingly enough, also Iceland is known for like hot springs. Doesn't really go with its name very well, but chocolate in Europe is huge. I found a list from 2018 of the top 5 countries that eat the most chocolate, and all of them were in Europe. So if you like chocolate, go there. There's also a mountain in Italy that's called Mount Etna, and it's an active volcano. It's the second... Let's see here. So many facts. I have to make sure I read them correctly. It's one of the most active volcanoes in the world. It has had eruptions as recently as last year. When you hear the word fjord, does a particular country come to your mind? It would for me probably, but I don't know why exactly.
Norway,
right. A fjord is basically just a gap in the mountains where there's water. It's kind of a simple way to describe it, kind of where the mountains just come straight down to the water. But there's other countries that also have fjords, but Norway is kind of known for that, I think. There's one country in Europe that a lot of the country... Well, I shouldn't say a lot. About a fourth of it to a third of it is below sea level. And some of it has been...
That was a mistake.
Okay.
8 minutes.
All right. Thank you. All right. A lot. Some of the country has been reclaimed from the sea. What country am I talking about?
Netherlands. Or Holland. It's up here somewhere. No, it's over here somewhere. This is terrible. Do not act this way with your students. I'm sure you know where stuff is. I can't. Oh, there it is. There you go. Pink one here.
The Netherlands. Okay, from Europe we can fly west across the Atlantic Ocean to the continent of North America. We're not going to talk about North America today because I have another class about that on Thursday. So if you want to hear North America, come back on Thursday. And North America includes Canada, United States, Mexico, and all these countries here in Central America. So technically, if you've been to Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Belize, Honduras, all those countries, technically you didn't get to South America yet. Sorry to tell you that, but you have to go a little further to get to South America. Now, that's where we're going to head next, to the world's fourth largest continent. If you were going to get in the car and start in Colombia, I don't know if it has the cities on. No, not really. But if you start in Colombia, approximately here, you could drive the whole way down the continent on one system of roads, all the way down basically to the southern tip of South America. And that system of roads actually goes all the way up through Central America, Mexico, United States, all the way up into Alaska. It's called the Pan American Highway, and it's like 30,000... I don't want to say the wrong number. It was 30,000 kilometers, I think. Miles and kilometers are different. Anyway, it's a long road. It's a network of roads. And the only place that you can't drive is from about here in Panama to somewhere in here in Colombia. There's about a 66-mile stretch. It's called the Darien Gap, which is kind of marshy, dangerous. There's lots of dangerous things there, dangerous animals and people that deal in drugs and some stuff that... Anyway, people have gone across it. They've even driven across it, but it's not a very safe place. So, this has nothing to do with geography, but it's a fun fact for your day. I met my future wife in Colombia. So, this continent always will be special to me because of that. South America is home to the Amazon River, and one of you mentioned that you'd like to visit that. It's the world's largest river by volume, and it goes through a network of jungle and stuff that has so much life that it's hard to comprehend. The Amazon River rainforest covers a lot of area. It's larger than the next two biggest ones combined. It's roughly the size of the lower 48 states. So about the size of this, if the Amazon River has all sorts of branches and stuff, but if you can imagine something that size in South America, that's about how big the Amazon River rainforest is. And people believe there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of life forms that they've never even discovered there. In Paraguay, did somebody say they visited Paraguay? Yes, somebody did. You did. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I found that instead of ringing a doorbell or something like that to announce your arrival at somebody's house, you clap your hand. That's an interesting fact. Every country in South America borders Brazil except two of them. Do you know what they are? You might be able to see if you look at the map.
Chile
is one. Ecuador is the other. Thank you. La Paz is in the country of Bolivia. It's the capital of Bolivia. It's the highest capital in the world. It's about 12,000 feet above sea level. If any of you know anything about flying planes, I'm not sure how they get planes in and out of there because that's such high elevation. I don't know how they could actually fly, but evidently they can. Let's see. The Andes Mountains are in South America, and they stretch about 4,300 miles across South America. They're the longest mountain range in the world. Country of Chile, somebody mentioned that having the longest coastline in the world, and that's, I thought of that when I was thinking about, or when I was looking at coastlines, because it's such a strange-shaped country. It covers so many lines of latitude that the climate from here down here is vastly different. And can you imagine trying to make a road map or like a scale map of Chile? It would look so strange. It would, I don't know if it would look kind of like this yardstick or not, but it would just be narrow and tall. It would look very odd. They probably could make atlases that would look normal. I don't know, but it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about. It's about 2,650 miles long, but it's only about 217 miles wide at its widest point. Angel Falls is in Venezuela,
another country that has been racked by all sorts of problems, and lots of refugees have left there and gone
come to Colombia. But Angel Falls is there. It's about 17 times higher than Niagara Falls. It's the tallest waterfall in the world. Okay. Those of you that have visited other countries, is there anything that stands out in your mind that just shocked you when you went to another country? Like when you saw something that, maybe a food that they eat or a custom that they have. I'm not saying I don't want you to say this to downgrade other cultures, but I'm just curious. Is there anything interesting that comes to your mind from another country? We have just a little bit of time here.
In Guatemala, they sold ice cream from little ice cream stands at the burritos.
Okay, at the burritos. I see. That is fascinating. Does somebody want to share maybe the strangest food that you've eaten in another country? I know America has strange foods too, but in another country sometimes they eat stuff that's very hard for us to understand. Go ahead.
I haven't eaten it, but a friend in Peru says that girls go to that summer jumping.
Wow. What else?
Worms.
Worms?
Mm-hmm.
Were they fried or were they raw?
Yeah.
Okay.
And monkey.
And what? Monkey.
Monkey, yeah.
My family spent time in Poland when I was younger, and they have a soup there that's kind of a delicacy, but it's made from chicken broth and cow intestines. Interesting. It tastes fine, but the texture is very strange. So, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining me for this rapid trip around the world. And as I said in the main session this morning, I hope that this gave you some things, just some snippets of stuff you can take back to interest your students. Teach them that the world is big and there's so much out there, not to make them discontent, but to make them think outside of where they live and give them a vision for traveling and seeing other cultures. Just will make them give their life so much more fullness. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you all as you go from here. You are dismissed.